WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And we can take your calls at 508-996-0500. We can take your app chat messages and your open line voicemail recordings on the WBSM app if you want to utilize that. And we are going to hear in the next hour about the admissions process and the upcoming admissions lottery for the next school year, not this school year, but starting in the fall of Global Learning Charter Public School in New Bedford. We're going to find out all about how you can apply if you are interested in having your student apply. And it's, you're saying to yourself, well, fall seems so far away, but now is the time of year when they hold that lottery. And when you think about it, fall's not that far away, right? That's the end of baseball season. And baseball season's going to start today. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training today. So it's not that far away, believe it or not. But for a little bit more important matters, I'm going to propose, I'm going to issue a radio executive order that we will be renaming Buzzards Bay the Gulf of New Bedford. For no reason other than I just want it to be called that, so now it'll be referred to as the Gulf of New Bedford. The Buzzards do not have a claim to the bay. New Bedford is the number one commercial fishing port in America. That supersedes the Buzzards. New Bedford fishermen probably catch more fish per year than the Buzzards catch. So from this point forward, Google Maps, I'm calling on you to reflect the change and refer to Buzzards Bay as the Gulf of New Bedford, right? We can just rename things as we want to now. And actually, yesterday, a pretty funny post, and I mean, I think a lot of people are having some fun with that. I mean, some people are losing their minds about it because it does show that Google is just kowtowing to whatever President Trump wants, and that seems to be the way that they're going. But also, you know, some people, some politicians are also having some fun with it, too, at the local level. And that happened yesterday with Mayor Bob Hedlund in Weymouth. He put out a Facebook post yesterday that said, I am pleased to announce that today, via executive order, I have renamed Hingham Bay the Gulf of Weymouth. And then he proceeds to give reasons why that action is justified. Mentioning things like three of the harbor islands are territorially part of Weymouth. Weymouth was settled 11 years prior to Hingham. Hingham is culturally appropriated facts surrounding the Revolutionary War skirmish known as the Battle of Grape Island, which is territorially located in Weymouth. Hingham has since been colonized itself by New Yorkers employed in financial services in Boston with no longstanding history of the body of water formerly known as Hingham Bay. He says, should Hingham attempt to reverse this action militarily, the North Weymouth Navy stands ready to defend the Gulf of Weymouth, led by its flagship, Chubby. That's probably an in-joke that we don't get because we're not from Weymouth. In an act of magnanimity and friendship, I have instructed North Weymouth border guards to allow passage of the Hingham commuter boat, bringing those New York transplants to the Boston Financial District, safe passage and tariff-free through the waters of the Gulf of Weymouth. I also wish to thank Google Maps for recognizing this change, which, of course, is just him writing Gulf of Weymouth on a screenshot of Google Maps. And then he says, Weymouth School textbooks will also reflect this change at the next printing. Now, before you lose your mind and call out this mayor for mocking Donald Trump, know this. Bob Hedlund is a Republican, and he's just having a little fun and pointing out the ridiculousness of this whole thing. But if they can rename the Hingham Bay into the Gulf of Weymouth, then we can rename Buzzards Bay into the Gulf of New Bedford. And we expect all of the other bordering communities to accept that, including the town of Buzzards Bay. You know what? Buzzards Bay, Massachusetts, you better just accept this change before we make you change your name to New Bedford. Oh, no, wait, that wouldn't work. All right, well, anyway, by the way, and for people who are also losing their minds about the fact that Google did change Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America, which, again, is stupid. Nobody but Donald Trump, Trump Republicans, Trump voters, and Google are going to refer to it as the Gulf of America. The rest of the world is still going to call it the Gulf of Mexico, as it's always been known. But also know that you can apply to have any name changed on Google Maps. You can put things into Google Maps that you can just make up. There's an island in Rochester that's called Shaquille O'Neal Island, or Shaq's Hideaway. It's called Shaq's Hideaway. Like, you just put that stuff into Google Maps and claim the name for it. And as long as nothing challenges that, it changes the name. So my favorite part, though, is that there are people who are now reporting Google Maps for inaccurate information for referring to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America, which is driving the AI bots crazy. But anyway, I like the fact that, you know, Mayor Bob Hedlund is having a little fun with it. And if he can do it, we can do it. So from now on, Buzzards Bay will be known as the Gulf of New Bedford. Radio executive order, signed, sealed, delivered on this day, the 12th of February, in the year 2025. 508-996-0500. Also, speaking of Buzzards Bay and the beach, Barry has an interesting article today at WBSM.com and on the app where he mentions that there is no law on Massachusetts, you know, on the books in Massachusetts about going barefoot, about needing to wear shoes when you go into places. That's all done through local ordinances. Now, most local municipalities and their boards of health have these rules in place, have these regulations in place that you have to be shod when you walk into stores and restaurants and public spaces. But it's amazing to me how many people think that they don't have to obey that. Now, listen, if I go to the movies and, you know, they've got those nice big leather recliners now. If I go to the movies and somebody wants to kick back in the recliner and take off their shoes, I don't really get that upset about it. In fact, this time of year, wintertime, wearing big heavy boots, there might be a time when I want to take my shoes off. Now, I try to sit away from everybody else anyway in the movie theater, but still, You know, I can kind of understand that. But I never understood in all my years of working in food service, 17 years in a restaurant that served the public, why people would insist on coming in without shoes on and think that that was okay, or take their shoes off when they got inside and think that that was okay. Now, if you come in wearing like flip-flops, which are not shoes, and still kind of gross, but if you came in wearing flip-flops and, you know, you were kind of dangling off feet and like you kind of absentmindedly forgot and they came, like, that's, all right, I get that. I can kind of understand. But there were people that would literally come in and just take their shoes off, like shoes and socks. I'm just trying to get comfortable. Well, you know, you can't do that here. But my feet are clean. I don't care. Put your shoes on, or we're going to have to ask you to leave. We would get people that would actually come in not wearing a shirt. Let me clarify that. Men that would come in not wearing a shirt. Oh, we just came from the beach. I don't care. Put a shirt on. Now, is it fundamentally more hygienic to force people to wear a shirt or shoes? I don't know. Probably not in the grand scheme of things. But it's a basic level of respect for the other people around you. And it was also the Board of Health regulation. But people did not want to have to obey that. Well, I mean, what is it? Like, why do you feel like you need to have no shirt on while you're eating breakfast? Why do you feel like you need to have no shoes on when you're having a turkey club? Now, we did have one guy. And in the interest of having accurate, if not creative, nicknames for all of our customers, he was known as Naked Dave. Because A, there were a number of different Daves, so we had to differentiate them all. Each Dave was characterized by some particular trait that formed their nickname, but also because he would take his clothes off for no reason. He had this condition where he would just suddenly start taking off his clothes. So you'd be talking to him, and all of a sudden he would feel uncomfortable and, you know, have to take off his shoes. And then as you continue, you know, he'd then take off his pants and his shirt, and he would strip down if nobody stopped him. And you'd have to stop him and say, Dave, you're in public. You can't do that. And he just wouldn't realize he was doing it until you called him out on it. And he was a nice guy. He was weird, but he was a nice guy. He wasn't trying to make people uncomfortable. Actually, let me take that back. He used to come in and show people photos of himself naked, and he had a book he carried around of dirty photos. So he was trying to make people uncomfortable, but he also had a condition. And then we had another guy named Lincoln. I think most people in town would remember Lincoln, who, the man, you know, rest in peace, always had the worst BO, but he would walk around in the summertime with just one of those puffy vest jackets on and no shirt. And he would wear that into the diner thinking like, hey, I've got something on. It counts as a shirt. And meanwhile, you know, he's stinking the place out with his BO. But technically he had a shirt on, so we couldn't refuse him service. But how is that considerate for the other people around you? If it bothers you that much to keep some shoes on while you're eating, get it to go and eat it at home or eat it in the car where you can take your shoes off. That's another one too. Taking your shoes off in the car and then sticking your feet out the window. But hey, I'm not in the car with you. I'm not going to judge. But I am in the restaurant with you when you're taking your shoes off. And that's just gross. But it's like an obsession with people to try to skirt that no rules, that no shirt, no shoes, no service rule. And I never understood that. 508-996-0500. Do you still see that happening out in public? Do you still see people? I see it all the time. People that take their shoes off in places. You walk by in a restaurant, there's somebody in the booth, no shoes on. What is wrong with you? Let's take a phone call here before we get to go to a break. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Talking about this no shirts and no shoes, I used to work in a convenience store. So, especially more obviously in the summertime, you know, people would try to come in without shoes. That's where I would put my foot down because one, that's kind of gross walking on a floor, but what happens if someone else who's wearing shoes, if you ever notice, like sometimes you get sneakers and you get rocks, or even sometimes like a small shard of glass stuck in a sneaker, they bring it in accidentally, but it falls out. And you cut your foot, but you would hold the store responsible. So I would say, no, you know, the shoes were obvious. The guys, depending on what they look like without a shirt, I might let that go because it wasn't so much, you know, at least in a convenience store, you know, you could get what you want and you weren't exactly hanging around or it would hurt
right,
something.
Right, and stuff is wrapped up and, you know, it's...
Yeah, hygienically. But at least shoes, you needed... the shoes, especially in the summertime. Now, at a restaurant, that's more obvious. Yeah, shirts and shoes. People don't want to be sitting around looking. I mean, unless they, the guy had a nice body, but even still, some people might not want to be looking at that while they're eating. That's just hygienics. I don't understand why people don't get that.
I mean, even if I had, you know, great pecs and a six pack, I still would want to wear a shirt where I felt like it was respectful to wear a shirt.
Yeah, that's true. I think most guys understand it, but I'd get more pushback from girls, at least with the shoes.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Coming into a convenience store.
Especially you know, because, like, you know, you wear shoes that are a little bit more complicated to put on and you're like, well, I'm not going to bother to put them on just to run in real quick. But then, you know, it's unhygienic and like you said, unsafe.
Yeah, but this is, I just came back from the beach. Well, don't you have your beach flip-flops, your sneakers? You know you're supposed to be wearing shoes. This is just not like, okay, we just flip, you know, we just put the law into effect. Oh, I don't have shoes. You're driving without no shoes. You're in a car with no shoes. I mean, come on, people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well.
So, but I get that, you know, that's people, you know, come on. This is hygienics, you know?
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good day. And those of you who are sitting at home with no shoes on and no shirt on, that's fine. That's your own home. We're not judging you. Got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. BSM Newsroom.
Elon Musk leads nearly $1 billion in education cuts. Illinois' former governor gets a pardon. And Valentine's Day shopping expectations.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Education Department's Institute of Education Sciences is facing nearly $900 million in cuts. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency deemed much of the institute's work unnecessary, leading to the termination of numerous contracts. Advocates argue the cuts will hinder efforts to improve student outcomes, especially for low-income students and students of color. The cuts come as Musk's team's access to Education Department systems is challenged in court. The White House blocked an Associated Press reporter from an Oval Office event on Tuesday after demanding the news agency change its terminology for the Gulf of Mexico, which President Trump has ordered renamed the Gulf of America. The AP refused, calling the move a violation of press freedom. Executive Editor Julie Pace said barring a reporter over independent journalism is unacceptable and a threat to the First Amendment. The Trump administration has not commented, but this comes days after it removed several news outlets from Pentagon office space. base. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is directing the military to put a pause on the recruitment of new transgender people. Lisa Taylor with more.
Hegseth is also ordering a suspension of planned procedures for current service members with gender dysphoria. It comes along with President Trump's executive order that essentially bans trans military service. Hegseth wrote in a memorandum for senior Pentagon leadership, "Efforts to split our troops along the lines of identity weaken our force and make us vulnerable." I'm Lisa Taylor.
Collapsed landing gear is the apparent cause of a deadly plane crash near Phoenix involving a jet owned by Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil. One person was killed in the Monday afternoon crash at Scottsdale Airport, with a fire department spokesman saying three people were taken to hospitals, two with life-threatening injuries. TMZ reports Neil was not on the plane, but his girlfriend was and suffered broken ribs. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is praising President Trump after receiving a full pardon. Speaking outside his home, Blagojevich expressed his gratitude to the president.
After 2,896 days in prison, nearly 8 years, President Trump pulled me out of there, and now he did this. And all I can tell you is that President Trump is a man who, when he sees things that are wrong, he rights them.
The former Democratic governor declined to comment on rumors that he's being considered to become ambassador to Serbia. He also didn't discuss whether he might run for office again. Lyft appears to be joining the robo-taxi game. The rideshare service announced that it's looking to launch an autonomous vehicle fleet sometime next year. Technology used by Intel-backed Mobileye will power the cars, and Dallas will be the first market to feature them. And Valentine's Day is almost here. Falls on a Friday this year. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
Those who partake in the day mainly shop for their significant others and family, but Americans will also be treating friends, pets, and colleagues. A survey by the National Retail Federation found that 32% of U.S. shoppers are buying something for their friends. This Valentine's Day, Americans are expected to spend over $27 billion, equaling an average of $188 per person. That's an increase of more than $1 billion from last year, according to the Trade Association. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics take on the San Antonio Spurs in Boston at TD Garden tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We're looking at a mostly cloudy day with snow developing overnight, a high of 35 degrees. On Thursday, we wake up to an icy mix and rain in the morning, turning windy in the afternoon, a high of 40. On Friday, bright and breezy, a high of 32, taking us into the weekend. Saturday, looking mostly cloudy, and so far Sunday, looking pretty rainy. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that, they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all our boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim, how are you doing this morning?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, I was thinking about when Trump first brought up about the Gulf of America. I thought that was a stupid idea myself, because all you're going to do is build enemies up among the other countries around us. But something like the Gulf of the Americas, where it encompasses North, South, and Central America, I could see that. But I don't think he had anything of trying to blend everybody together on it. I think he just wanted to make a point that he was going to name it after our country.
It's just one of those things that gets all these people who are, you know, just, I don't even have a word for it, but just like the sycophants that are just going to suck up everything he does and be like, yeah, great move, when it's just really a right. dumb move that doesn't really do anything.
It's just totally dumb. You know, you said it, I looked at it and I said, I'm embarrassed now. But like I said, if it was the Americas, well, like you said, South, Central, and North, hey, that might be something. But
yeah, but you also don't have the unilateral discretion to be able to decide to rename things that have had names for a long time.
Well, that's a point too.
Especially if it's something that
has been called the Gulf of Mexico.
Especially if it's something that's international. You know, it'd be one thing if it's, you know, American property, like, you know, renaming, you know, of Mount McKinley, Mount Denali. Like, I understand like that because that is American property, but Mount Denali is a name that it's always had. McKinley was the name that they gave it later on, but that name never really stuck with the locals anyway.
Right. Exactly. Well, hey, we just have to bear with it, I guess, and see what happens in the next four.
Oh, but what do you think? What do you think? Should we start calling Buzzards Bay the Gulf of New Bedford?
Well, that sounds good. I haven't seen too many buzzards in there. You
know, right, right. The buzzards lost their claim to it a long time ago.
All right, then, brother. You have a great day.
You as well. Yeah, when you think about it, New Bedford is the number one fishing port in America, commercially speaking. New Bedford fishermen catch way more fish than the buzzards do. So I think they've got a fair claim to it. But that all came about because of the mayor of Weymouth's, you know, ingest Facebook post yesterday where he said they're going to rename Hingham Bay the Gulf of Weymouth. And before you get all worked up, Bob Hedlund is a Republican. He was just having some fun. And I do. I like it when politicians can get a little goofy on their Facebook pages. That's what social media is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about taking everything so seriously, yet everything turns into, you know, arguments. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. I actually spent a lot of time in the GOM, right? Years, actually, working the offshore fields.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that upset about it. I think maybe the Gulf of North America would have been better. And then people like you could have said, not going to name it, not going to call it that. You know, GOTA, Gulf of the Americas, not bad. I think we might have more coastline than Mexico does. But America, you know, what is America? It's two continents, the Americas, I like that. Kind of hard to figure it out. But you know, you didn't seem to get that upset when they were renaming schools.
Yeah, because they're renaming it after people that shouldn't have buildings named after them.
You like what, like former presidents?
Well, I mean, you're always going to get people that want to change names anyway. It happened here in New Bedford, too, where they would say after a while, well, nobody remembers that person. Let's name it after a more recent person. And I think, you know, that gets a little bit ridiculous when you're just naming something after somebody because you want to honor somebody more recent. But if you're taking down names of people who are, say, you know, Confederate generals and you want to rename it for somebody who wasn't a traitor to the country, then that's understandable.
I think that is. Former president or, you know, Christopher Columbus. That, you know, I thought that went too far. So I mean, think it's tit for tat, actually.
Think about this, too. Like, just as an example, when John F. Kennedy was killed, there were a lot of, you know, schools that might have been named after other people previously that all of a sudden became like JFK High. Like, they started renaming a lot of buildings after JFK. That happened in a couple of Massachusetts towns.
Sure. And a lot of places, a lot of names, buildings and the roads get named after Martin Luther King as well. And do you remember when the tunnel opened in Boston, expressway underground, and Mitt Romney proposed calling it the Liberty Tunnel? And of course, it had already been in the works to call it the Tip O'Neill Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while, the traffic reporter in one of the Boston stations was calling it the Liberty Tunnel, but they quickly changed, and everybody now calls it the O'Neill Tunnel. But it, you know, it's at some point it's silly, but to continue the absurdium, I think it if you want to call it the Gulf of New Bedford, doesn't make any sense. If you want to call it New Bedford Bay, you can't change a bay to a gulf.
Well, I mean, I'm just riffing off what the mayor of Weymouth did.
Well, Hedlund, you know, he might be a Republican. That doesn't mean he's right. But listen, it is kind of absurd, but. Or just frivolous, and it is a distraction, and that's what the master magician does to us, right? Throws out everything and keeps your eye off the ball. Anyway, I'm surprised Google changed it. You know, you might know something about this. There's names of places, and there's the ISO code, you know, the International Organization for Standards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some kind of interesting thing, how Google was able to do that. You know, there's more to it than just changing the map name.
Yeah, I mean, Google, you know, that's their proprietary map, so they can do whatever they want with it. They can put whatever they wanted on it. They could call it the Gulf of Google if they wanted to. But it's, you know, that's not what's going to end up in printed atlases.
Yeah, the nautical charts won't change. The international charts, you know, there gets to be some international standards on naming places. You know, it's like changing a country code. It's interesting how whether this will stick or not. But I'm not that offended by it. I think it is a continental body of water. I don't think there's any international water in the sense that the 200-mile economic zone, EEZ, exclusive economic zone that we share, that, you know, covers all of the Gulf. And I think we have a little more coastline in Mexico, and then Cuba cuts into it a little bit too. But anyway, I think it's fun to talk about something else instead of what's really important, right?
Well,
once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's also something that we can argue about. Nobody's really going to get too upset about how the other person feels anyway.
Okay. All right, well, so just to leave you, Tim, I'll go along with you, but you can't change it from a bay to a gulf. It's got to stay bay. So New Bedford Bay it is.
All right. You have a good day.
Take care.
And now let's take another call here, and then I got to take a break. Good morning. Oh, good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Brent. Is there anything in Massachusetts that's named after Thomas Paine?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well,
I mean, every time we get a tax bill, we call it a pain in the ass, but, I mean, I don't think that that's after Thomas Paine.
Well, you know, if I remember right, the Boston Tea Party had to do with the taxes were being taken back to London to have a party with instead of left in the region to invest. So the king was always sucking the money back to London and never reinvesting. And so taxation with representation meant that we put that money together to invest in ourselves, and you're stealing it without our permission, no representation. So, you know, the very concept of, you know, and that's why I raise Thomas Paine. He talks about the difference between a society and a government. In a society is where everybody agrees there should be a gutter or the road there or having a bridge or this, that, and the other. But how do you pay for it? And so you put together your taxes April 15th, pool together your money to buy yourself something nice. Buy yourself a nice park, a swimming pool, public shelters, things, you know, I mean, we the people own it. Let's make a nice place. And so all of a sudden we end up with these high dollar skinflints that run around saying, that's too expensive. That's too expensive. You build it right. You make it last. These people, they're tearing apart America for their personal gain. And Trump, do I understand this jackass is now trying to pretend that he's put in charge by God?
I mean, I've seen a lot of people comment that, but I don't know that I've seen him say that.
Well, somebody's pushing it, right? And, you know, I'm into PR. And who in the hell would ever believe that, well, of course, he's got to push it because isn't this casino owner trying to get a piece of the Holy Land?
That seems to be the new plan, although I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but that's what he was still talking about it again yesterday.
Yeah, well, it just shows. See, I've always contended that Trump's followers are, they're not hypnotized, they're blackmailed. Boss man's got something on them, they better do what he said. And they don't care how stupid, they're just going to do it. And, you know, to the point of diabetes medicine just went from $30 to $600 in a stroke of a pen, thanks to Trump. And the idea that they're obeying him no matter how stupid the call. And so it's blackmail as far as I'm concerned. It's got, these are, you know, they used to 5150 somebody that was a danger to themselves and others, you know. They, it's gotten to the point where, you know, if food regulations are about to change, if the weights and standards, you go down to the gas station, you think
I gotta hold you here. I gotta take a break. I got a big break here that I'm sure. Up against. You have a good day.
Think you're getting a gallon? Yeah.
All right. We agree on a lot of things, but I can only deal with so much. In one shot. We'll be back in just a few moments. And it's going to be another chilly day. So why not warm yourself up with something delicious to eat for lunch or dinner today that you can get at the butcher shop, whether it be some of their great pre-made food or whether it be something that you take home and cook up yourself. They've got it all at the butcher shop. They can make it easy for you to throw on a nice dinner on the grill. Or if you don't want to go outside in the cold, you can cook it in the oven, broil it. You can throw it on the stovetop. Put it in the air fryer, whatever it may be. But we're talking celebrity pork chops. We're talking steaks of all different kinds of cuts. I mean, I wouldn't want to have a tomahawk that was cooked on top of the stove, because that's going to take you about 2 years to finish off. But that's worth going outside in the cold on the grill for, but well worth it. But you can get all kinds of great stuff over at the butcher shop, whether it be stuff that's already marinated that you can just throw on when you get home, or when you're meal planning for the entire week. Find it all at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Don't forget, too, to go downstairs and get all of your beer and wine needs. That'll also warm you up in this cold weather. And, of course, grab some of Maria's great rice pudding for dessert. Check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, a real old-school neighborhood market. And we're going to be taking a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, we're going to learn about the admissions process for Global Learning Charter Public School. And we're going to find out about how